What's goody, Hot Breathiverse? Welcome back to Hot Breath Live. We do this weekly live stream on our YouTube channel to help answer your questions in support of our mission of cultivating the next generation of self-made comics. I'm your host, comedian Joel Byers. My co-host, Yoshi So, is late, and we're going to jump right in anyway, because this topic we're diving into today, hecklers, is something every comedian at some point in their career is going to have to learn, and it's going to be a lot of trial by fire. But I will say, in my many years of being a professional comedian, there are some tips and tricks that I have picked up on and learned the hard way. So hopefully you don't have to when you get heckled, because that is a big part of a reality of being a comedian, is at some point in time, you will get heckled and have to figure out how to deal with it. So thank you to everyone joining us on the live stream today. Thank you those that also ask questions in the Facebook group ahead of time, which if you're not in our Facebook group, you should definitely join that. That's linked in the description of this episode. And thank you to everyone that was in my clean comedy workshop this weekend. In addition to having probably one of the worst heckler experiences of my life, and by worst, I mean the show went great. He was just one of the worst hecklers. The next day, I also did another clean comedy workshop. This is four we have now done. All have sold out. What an amazing experience to see so many comedians wanting to learn the craft of clean comedy so they can start booking those higher paying gigs. So it's been such a joy to see other comedians as passionate about clean comedy as I am, and just understanding the real business implications of being able to do clean comedy. So if you're interested in learning how to do clean comedy, I do have a link to the wait list in the description of this episode as well. If you're in the live stream, I did pin the link to the top of the live chat where you can go and just submit your name and email, just so when I do another workshop, you will get first dibs on it, because they have all sold out. And that is incredible to see, just comedians taking their careers in their own hands and learning that skill of clean comedy. So shout out to all of those positives. And now, I guess it's time we get to the quote unquote negatives, if you will. And we're going to talk about heckling today. We're going to talk about hecklers, how to deal with them. And this all sparked because this past weekend I was headlining a show, and I had a drunk heckler that, for lack of a better word, was almost like the final boss of heckling in my career. He was disruptive. At one point, he grabbed the mic cord. And it all really started just a few minutes into my set. Every other comedian did great. He wasn't disruptive at all. And then I get up there, and a few minutes in, I was doing some jokes. Everything was going well. And he decided to let me know that it wasn't going well. And he was kind of saying it quietly. And it was kind of like, he was on the front row. So that's one thing with heckling, is it's tough to handle some heckling, especially if it's on the front row, because people five rows back and on from there probably can't hear him. And if they can, it's probably maybe not as disruptive as it is to you, because he's facing you. So all the volume is going towards you, because he wasn't like yelling it. He did get progressively louder. But it all started with him just basically saying, oh, that's not funny. Talk about something else. I was talking about playing football back in the Dizzy as Husky Joel. And he got triggered by that. One lady after said it's probably because he was a closeted gay man, because I was talking about football and that triggered some old memories of his from the showers. That was a lady after the show that said that. That wasn't me. But it's an important thing with hecklers. And this is a tip right off the jump, especially if they're close to the stage or not. It can be very helpful to repeat what they say, because a lot of the times when you're getting heckled, and you know what? This could also be true for crowd work. as well, to repeat what they say. So not only does it give you time to respond, but it also gives the whole audience context for what the conversation is. So for instance, this guy was basically like, "That's not funny. Talk about something else." And I was like, "It's not funny." I was like, "Wait, you don't think these jokes are funny?" And I basically was just saying it to repeat what he said, to also let the whole audience in on what the heckling was. And he's like, "No." And I was like, "Well, all the laughter would indicate otherwise." So now we're all on the same page. And that's another good thing about heckling, is the audience is on your side. The audience is wanting the heckler to go away just as much as you are, because they're interrupting the show. So it's a good tip for you as well, when you do have a heckler, to remember, oh, it's the room versus us. It's like the room versus the heckler. So just remember that when you're also dealing with hecklers, that you're not alone in this and you can bring the crowd into it. And I was literally like, everyone else is laughing but you at this. So that really made him feel isolated and really got the audience on my side and know that's us against him mentality. And it was a great way to start it. And from then on, I was able to play along with him heckling me intermittently. And I was able to just play and weave it into the set and not let it deter me. And speaking of hecklers, I think we have Yoshi coming in here late in just a moment. But first things first, that would be your first tip, is to repeat what the heckler says and remember that the audience is on your side as well. So there isn't you versus the heckler and everyone else is watching. It's literally you in the room versus the heckler. So that should give you some good confidence that you can defeat the heckler in a very civil way. And my favorite heckler coming in is Yoshi So. Late to the show. Only 20 minutes, though. So we're just talking about the heckler from Saturday, the show that you were also on.
Yeah. It's a fun show, man. Such a fun show.
Yeah, for you. You didn't get heckled.
Yo, I gotta say, it was, I know you were bothered by it. That I can tell.
I had fun with it.
But you had fun.
Right.
But there was just a level that I will say this, like, your professionalism throughout the entire thing was top notch, dude. Just, oh. Yeah, like, it didn't come off like you let it bother you. I know you well enough that I know when you came off stage. Like, if you were like, "Hey, Yoshi, you want to go beat up a random person in Cummings?" I would have been like down, and I would have completely understood it for sure. But that wasn't your attitude. But yeah, I think, yeah, it was just, yeah, it was so weird. It was so weird. But I've seen this before, but I just got to say, you're just it's obvious that you have been in this game and you've seen this before. And you know, you knew how to act, you knew how to stay calm, and like, just, I mean, outside of just being funny, the crowd was so on your side to mm-hmm. in such a major way that they felt like, what are you watching? They were like watching him, like, what are you watching?
Right. 'Cause
this guy's crushing, like, and we're having a good time. So it's not us, it's you.
Yeah. Yeah. And he was just drunk. And I think that's important to also remember when dealing with hecklers, is like trying to assess the situation. So it's, each heckle is going to be different, and it's tough to really prepare more than you just have to get heckled a lot. I mean, there is a trick to you want to recognize what type of heckler it is. There's a few different types of hecklers. Sure. There's some people who are super excited and just feel like they're a part of the show and they feel like they're helping. Yeah. They may be excited or they may be drunk, but they think they're helping. There are some mm-hmm. positive hecklers. Yes. There's also people who, after everything you say, they're like, oh, I know that's right. Or like, oh, yeah, keep going. Like, that's right.
Favorite. That's my yeah. favorite heckler.
So there's positive heckling that sometimes you just have to ignore and it'll go away.
Yeah.
Sometimes you can honestly just shush an audience member.
Ooh, you pulled out the shush.
I pulled out the shush on the guy. I was trying to, I had the fire extinguisher. I pulled out a fire blanket. I was throwing flour on the fire. Ooh. I mean, I was trying everything.
Yeah.
I eventually just made him part of the show. I think.
Yeah, you did. Yeah.
That was basically what I ended up having to do.
Yo, when you said everybody here, you did your hands and him is having a good time. I was dying. Dude, that was such a great, like, I wish we would have recorded it. Because just that level of just yeah. like the interaction, but how involved the crowd got into that as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, yeah, yeah,
right?
yeah.
Like
yeah.
that became that part of it became a bit, and I think you did it like 3 times. Which yeah. like is just like classic sort of just Chris Rock line. You know, women be shopping. Women
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Be shopping. Y'all know women be shopping. It was just a funny like the levels that you add, the layers that you added to this one thing of just like sweeping over the entire crowd and be like, everybody here who is having a good
except time. Yeah, like put my hand over where he is. Yeah, and yeah. that's it was, yeah, I realized after a little while, and I think that was a question in the live chat of basically how do you deal with, yeah, wise guy asked, if the heckler just doesn't take the hint and keeps going. I mean, at a certain point, you either ask for him to get kicked out. I think I did tell him he could leave. I don't know. Mm-hmm. A lot of it was a blur. but I think at one point I was like, you can actually leave. And the show yeah, will be fine without you.
You did. You gave him the option.
Yeah.
You gave him the option. And I think here's what it was. I think part of it was like there was – I felt like you handled him fine. And then the front row just in that section just started going a little haywire as well.
Yeah, one guy kicked over a glass.
Yeah,
and it was,
so like – it became so obvious, like, what is, like, and you called it out. You're like, what is happening with this front row? And everybody else in that front row outside of him was having a good time.
Right, right.
But I felt like, to your point, they probably just got a little tipsy, right? Because
right.
he already knocked over the glass, like, during my set.
Like, oh, okay.
Yeah, so he already did it, right? And I was like, you all right? And I just continued, right? But, like, because you already made him a part of the show, it was hard not to pay attention to the fact that, oh, the whole row is kind of like a little unruly or a little drunk.
Yeah, and that's I think that's important also because I wanted this episode to also be helpful tips for comics handling hecklers. And I think a big one is, if at all possible, don't make them part of the show. Or at least joke here, joke like, hit them with a couple jokes and then move on. And if they do it again, have like a real moment with them of like, you're actually interrupting the show and everyone's here trying to have a good time. So please, if you could. So I think I made a couple jokes and was like, okay, cool. Drunk heckler, been there. And then he kept going. So then it was like, shush, you can leave. I was really like, okay, here we are now. I have more time, like plenty more time to do. Cause he did it fairly early into the set.
Yes.
So it was like a few minutes in.
Yeah.
And after that, I realized he was going to keep going.
Yeah.
And that I was just like, okay, he's going to be part of the show. But I would recommend for comics, at all costs, don't make them part of the show, because then they think they're helping and they're going to keep doing it because now they feel like they're a part of the show. So I would caution against that.
Yeah. I would say, yes, as if you're early in this game, don't do that.
Right.
But I got to give you props again, man. It was a masterclass. You pulled out all of it. Like, everything came out. The shush, the saying, hey, everybody else is having a good time. The trying to calm him down, the like getting validation from the audience that they're having a good time. Like mm-hmm. you established that it was only him that wasn't like having a good time. And the funny thing is, I also think like it was so obvious that you were just setting your tone and like you weren't kicking it into high gear. You got laughs like at the beginning, but you were just setting the tone for the room. And you're like, wait, why are you disturbed? Like, you could just tell you were in groove mode. And I'm like, what is he talking about? You know what I mean? Like, it was very disruptive, but in seeing you, but also knowing that what you were trying to do from a comedic standpoint were just established things. Because it was a long set. You were going to do 40 minutes, right? So was it like you were like, and I think the difference is like, me and you are very different. Like, I come out kind of blazing, right? Like, I just like brr, brr, kind of thing. But you were slow pacing it, but it wasn't like you weren't being, you were funny the entire time. As soon as you got up there, you got laughs immediately, but you were just establishing like, here's who I am and you guys are going to get this. And I think what made it even funnier is the thing that he disturbed was what you closed on the entire, which was nuts, right? That was like the master class, like, and then you called him out on it, which was even funnier because he was like, you talking about football, make it funny. I was like, and then you literally did the football bit, the crowd, you got an applause break on it, and then you heckled him. And it was like, was that good enough for you?
Yeah, I was like, that was for you, sir.
I was like, that was for you. I mean, which I think is like that, like you basically made the classic meme, shutting a heckler down. Like your set was just like, if you were to encapsulate it in a YouTube like video shoot, like a thumbnail, comedian shuts heckler down with his own joke. Like that's what it felt. Because I mean, anyone that was there can attest to this. The joke that he disturbed you on and started heckling on.
Yeah, it was about football.
Was about football, and then you closed on the football bit, and then you called him out on it.
Yeah,
which is just brilliant, right? Like that's why I was like, I was very impressed, dude. Like, you were so nice about it. Yeah. Which I think is a testament to your own kind of like you're a clean comedian. You cursed, which is even wilder.
I did. Right? I had to.
You don't.
Well, you were up there throwing 15 mother effers, and I was like, me saying one or two is not going to shake the boat. Yoshi was up there doing a Def Jam set. I was like, what is happening here?
I was just feeling it, dude.
Yeah, I was just feeling it, he says. We need to get you in the clean comedy workshop. We need to clean up those filler words. No, yeah, I did, though, and that was, I you know, at a certain point, I was just like, it just came out, and it was authentic. It was yeah. I mean, they got laughs. It was just.
Yeah, it was so funny.
Had to.
But yeah, I mean, but I also think like when you know, it was a two headliner show, right? And the audience knew that they were going to get something like very different with the other comedian. But I just think like what I enjoyed about it was you kind of just set your own tone for the show. Mm-hmm. And I think that's such an important thing to do is like I watched Drew Thomas do this. Spends the first 5 minutes like taking off his shirt, like taking off, like puts a hat on the thing and just like ask questions. And he's just establishing. And I think that's such a beautiful thing that I see a lot of headliners do, like yourself. You're not like coming out blazing right at the beginning. You're just like chilling, establishing, and then you kind of give them the goods, right? Mm-hmm. And I think just that kind of like tone feels very like that's such a veteran move is the best way to say it. It was such a veteran move to just be like, no. I'm like, that's what I like about you. He's like, no, I'm not Yoshi. I'm not getting like not doing what he just did. Right. You're just establishing your own pace and your own tone. And I think that was such an important thing to do. An important thing to remember for comedians is don't try to do what the last comedian does.
Right.
Just do you. And everyone will be on board. And everyone was on board. He was the a-hole in this situation, but everybody was on board.
Yeah, I think it peaked when he grabbed the mic cord. And I was just like, sir, this is not... People literally after the show were asking me if he was a plant. They were like, is that your friend? Did you guys plan that? And I was like, no.
Hilarious.
None of that. No. No, it was not. But thank you for buying merch. We did sell some merch. That was the hazard pay that evening, I guess. Is people were buying merch like, we're sorry about him. I played with it. And I think that's another one that I think comics will have the instinct to yell or get mad at the heckler. And I think it's really important that unless your persona is angry, like if you're like Lewis Black or Sam Kinison or someone, like if your character is angry, then getting angry is fine. But for most people, like if you get angry, it'll shut the crowd down. They'll be like, oh, this just got awkward or this just got real. You know, it's just like, oh, dad just hit mom at the dinner table. This is a whole... This isn't fun anymore. So just having fun with the situation as much as possible.
For sure.
And this evening was, I can't really say it's 14 years. I don't know how else to say of doing strip clubs and nightclubs and opening for twerk contests and performing on sidewalks and public buses and... It's just years of just callousing to be able to recognize a heckler, understand, okay, is this a positive or negative heckle? Okay, why are they heckling? Are they drunk? Are they upset about something I said specifically? Because sometimes you'll get heckled because maybe you said something political and they're like, not my president or whatever. You know, there's so many different things when you get a heckle that you have to, you have to learn how to, in real time, almost like the Matrix, into like the fourth dimension of like, oh, what is this person? Why are they yelling? Is this positive? Is this negative? Yep. Are they drunk? Are they mad at me? Or is there something happening at the table? Like there's all these different things you need to start to be able to analyze when a heckler happens. And then that like, this weekend was just me getting heckled for years and years and years and recognizing what to do with it. But it all starts with, I think, having fun with the situation, not getting angry. And I know someone asked about dealing with a heckler who thinks they're helping. And that's really, you can tell them they're not helping. I think sometimes we forget that.
We have like the microphone.
Stand-up is a conversation more than a monologue. It's like you say something, their laughter is their response. And there's a real rapport and rhythm between that conversation. And the same thing, if someone yells out or there's a heckler, you can a lot of the times say, please just stop. You're disturbing the show. And a lot of the time that will extinguish the whole situation. And then you'll just move on. You can shush them a lot of the times and then just move on and don't. And that's why I don't recommend making them part of the show, because then it provokes them to keep coming back with more heckles. It's something you kind of got to learn the hard way as well.
Yeah, I think you went through the gamut of here's all the nice things that usually helps. Here's all the neutral things that usually helps. And then here's all the mean things that I have to go through, right? So you went through the gamut of emotions of how to handle it, right? You were super nice about it up top. You were just like, from what I'm seeing, everybody's having a good time. You said that. the crowd roared and was like, yeah, we're all having a good time. We don't know what your thing is. And, you know, you heard snickers of being like, hey, man, you're not helping. Like, from the crowd. Like, the crowd said that they were having a good time. They confirmed they're having a good time.
Right.
You did your thing. You kept going. He did it again. And then you were just like, shh. You know what I mean? Like, shh. And then you thought it was, I mean, you were like, now you're like 20 minutes in. You're doing fine. He does it again. Right. Like, this is a repeat offender heckler. This dude is like he just wasn't stopping. But like the jokes are flying. Like, you're cooking at this moment. Mm-hmm. And then you go into the crowd and then he holds the mic. Like,
he grabs the mic cord. Yeah.
And you're like, what are you? you're just being an a-hole.
Like, yeah.
You're trying too hard to be a part of the show. And then you made fun of the whole thing, right? And you like, and I think that's the difference, is you could tell that you knew what to do in this situation the entire time. Hmm. Like, it didn't bother you. It felt like you just knew where to take it all the way through. And you were very nice to that guy. Like, it was just like, and I think that's the difference, is like, even your personality came through, because you're not an a-hole on stage. Mm-hmm. And so you
on stage, I love how you clarified that. On stage, you're not an a-hole. Not on stage. Not
Yeah. But it was just good. It was a master class. Like, and you know, and here's the thing, I was cracking up in the back, right? I was laughing at the heckler. I was laughing at you. I was laughing at the whole situation. But I enjoyed watching you just like maneuver through and figure it out as you were on stage. And you could just tell, like, people, here's the other thing, people really enjoyed it. At the end of the day. We got a review from that night where somebody literally said, Yoshi and Joel brought the house down, and one dude decided that he wasn't going to have a good time. Everybody else was having a good time. Where you're like,
that was the realest description of the night. The funny was flying.
Mm-hmm.
That one person.
Microphone. Don't forget you're talking into a microphone.
That one person. The funny was fine, but that one person was just like, all right, this is my kind of night. I'm going to get on a video. So, yeah.
And I think it's important, comics, remember that the audience is on their side. That's something I referenced earlier, but you could see through the set that it became, as he kept going, I just leaned into more, it's us against him. And I could call back stuff and reference people in the crowd. And so as it went along, I was like, all right, we're just going to make this a whole, we're all against this one guy. So I think even if you're at an open mic and you're getting heckled in your 5-minute set, remember, even if you don't incorporate the rest of the audience, just have the confidence to stay calm, knowing that he's not only heckling you, but he's heckling the entire room. So everyone is on your side. So even if you just simply say, please don't do that, you're disrupting the show, I only have 5 minutes, please just be respectful. People, if you just have a genuine moment like that, a lot of the times the audience will clap. And that'll really reinforce that tribal mentality of comedy and make them feel like the outcast, and then be like, oh, maybe I'm ruining everyone's time. I thought it was just me poking at the comedian. Let me sit back. Now, of course, there's outliers, which this weekend, none of it was happening. Like, he was just not taking any of the hints. It was
none of the hints.
What it was. I mean, it's like anything in comedy, that there's no hard and fast law. There's no one size fits all. It's like One time you'll do a joke, it may kill for a month, and then all of a sudden it stops working, and you're like, what happened? It's one of those things in comedy. Just sometimes there's going to be nights where you're like, oh, so this was not in the script. This is not. And it just all comes down to just remaining as calm as possible, mm-hmm. and staying in control of the situation, which at the end of the day does take time. But I think just going through these few techniques and having this checklist of really remembering this when you do get heckled, and it'll just help you be prepared for it. And then just learn from the mistakes you make. I've yelled at people, dude. I've freaked out on stage. I've done it all. I've done it all. And I mean, if people, even if I wasn't getting heckled, like this would be like a Tuesday night at a bar where people weren't expecting comedy. If someone got up and went to the bathroom, I would yell at them because this is my time and you're in this is open mic comedy, dude. I'm probably not doing well. All the TVs are on, but that's like how trigger happy I was on stage. I was just so impulsive and ready to get distracted by anything. Oh, which is another good tip. And we should probably recap them at the end. But another one is the first thing you can do is just try ignoring them.
Mm.
Like if you just keep going, and let's say after the third yell, then you can start to address it. But honestly, one thing you can do is just ignore it a few times. And sometimes they'll get the hint that, oh, okay, I guess I won't be able to provoke this comic. Or, oh, okay, I guess this isn't the time and place. That can sometimes work in itself. And that just reminded me, because I remember doing open mics. If someone's like glass clanked or something, I was immediately on it. Like I would get so easily distracted by everything in those early days. So another important one is you could first start to just try to ignore it and then address it if need be, but treat it all as a conversation, you know, really try to be genuine with it and not get angry and blow up and all of that. Just have fun with the situation.
Yeah. I like that. Yeah. It was masterclass, man. It was fun to watch. You closed so hard. I loved watching people's reaction, because you can also tell that they wanted to talk to you about that.
Yeah. For sure.
But that's how you know it was good, because they felt so engaged. They're like, all right, I really want to know what's going through his head right now, because he just had to deal with that butthead on stage. And it's just like, I love that the audience gets to be in on it as well. Like you made them a part of the show. So you still gave the audience a show, because you made them a part of it. And they were just, you just kind of played them like audience Joel versus one heckler. Mm-hmm. And I think even just like coordinating that was very cool to watch.
Wow. Thank you.
Yeah, man.
I'm glad you were there.
Yeah. 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 It'd be hard to describe if I wasn't watching out, because I was in the back. I'm like, wait, what's happening? Like, is he serious right now? Are we doing this right now?
Yeah.
So, this is going to be fun.
Yeah,
probably not fun for you, but I was just definitely like, oh,
no, I had fun with it.
Yeah, exactly. And I knew I was like, oh, Joe's about to have a good time. Yeah, I could just feel it.
You know me, like any excuse to go off the rails, I'm for it, you know.
Exactly.
Because I think we've done several shows, especially lately together. And like the one I did that you produce, I was able to be silly and roll around and be really loose. And I was like, yeah, that's any excuse just to go off the rails like that. And then the next show we did together, was my Clean Comedy Festival.
Yeah.
And I wasn't headlining it. I had to open as the host, and the show just hadn't been set yet. As a host, you have to go up there and establish. And I went up there and was weird from the jump and was like, oh, I forgot you have to warm them up a little bit. Yes. I forgot you have to you can't just go up there and start rewinding the show and being like, oh, let's try that again. And I don't know.
It was very funny to watch because I was like, oh, it's been a while since Joel hosted.
I went up because the clapping was okay, but it wasn't, uproarious. So then I was like, oh, let's try that again. And it was, this is like a small town in Georgia. Like, these people are here, maybe for get or done. They're not here for, okay, this host came out and then just said what happened and then walked backwards. Like, he was rewinding the show and then narrated us not clapping loud enough.
Yep. And did it
no punchlines. Just like.
And then you did it twice.
I was like, maybe they didn't hear me the first time. Hilarious.
Yeah.
But I had fun with it. So I enjoyed the heckler experience because it was like, oh yay, we get to go off the rails a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think even the show that we did in Woodstock, your Clean Comedy Festival, you hosted and then you didn't get the reaction. You brought out the comedian, and then during the comedian set, you reestablished. And so it felt like you were hosting again. So almost like after each comedian, you were like, all right, let me get it back into that mode for the crowd. Like, because I felt like you were like, I got to get him. I got to get him.
My time. My face is on the wall. My time. But that's how you learn. Each show is different. You got to figure out ways to adapt. And Bob Kirk in the live chat said that he'll sometimes interview the wife of the heckler or the person with them. Yeah. Incorporating their friends into it is another good tip of is this your buddy?
Yeah.
It's like, Did you guys bring this guy?
You guys claim him? Is that,
exactly. You could bring his friends into it, and that'll also alienate him and maybe make it to where he doesn't want to yell out as much.
For sure. Yeah. That's always fun. Yes.
Yeah. So how can we sum up the tips? We said a lot of them. So I think if we could go through almost the steps of you're heckled. I think step one, establish what kind of heckle it is. And this will take experience, and this may take also, if you're at an open mic, for example, this person may be disruptive before you get on stage. So you could start to study the audience. I always like to look at the crowd. What's the age range? Is it mostly couples? What's the time and date? Is this a Tuesday at 10 where most people don't even know there's going to be a show? Or is it more of a weekend primetime show where everyone is here for comedy? Are people drunk? Are they into the show? What kind of jokes are they laughing at? I do go through a pre-show checklist that way. So when you do get heckled, if we could do this in a summation, I would say when you get heckled, first assess the type of heckle. Is it a positive heckle? Do they think they're helping? Or is this a negative heckle to where they're trying to actually hurt the show, saying something negative to you? Is it a type of heckle to where they got offended by something you said? Where is it political or racial or whatnot? Or you said a word they didn't like? I brought up football and this guy didn't like it. So it's good to know context for the heckle. Is it positive? Is it negative? Are they just drunk and they don't even know what they're doing? Is another type of heckle. And once you establish and recognize the type of heckle, then I think you can really try first to just ignore it. Just try, you hear it and just try to ignore it a few times. And I would say after the third disruption, address them. And really, you could be as sincere as, please calm down. You know, you're disrupting the show for everyone around you. I only have a few minutes, or, you know, we're here just to have a good time. So please just relax and enjoy the show. Being very sincere. And then if that doesn't work, a nice technique is to shush them. You never know. Shushing can really work. And not like shush and then make it a deal. Like shush and then act like nothing happened and go back to your set. People will lock back in with you because the audience is on your side. So remember that at all times. The crowd is on my side. The crowd is on my side. I'm in a safe space. It's the room versus this guy. It's not just me versus this guy. So if he still doesn't shut up that way, then I think a good technique is remembering the rooms on your side, incorporate the room into it, and maybe start with his friends. Is this your friend? Like, what's going on here? Or the room. Address the room. Does anybody know who this man is? Can someone give him a ride home in your trunk or something like that?
Oh, that's
because that's a line I would sometimes do is like, oh yeah, keep drinking. If you need a ride home, I do have a trunk. You know, that would. That's like a throwaway line that I would do a lot, especially like open mics and stuff.
Yeah.
So then if that doesn't work, then address them directly. Have a conversation with them. And it becomes more crowd workish at that point to where they say something, repeat it. So it gives you time to think of a response, but it also lets the entire audience know what this person is saying, because a lot of the times it's going to be close to the stage where most people in the room can't even hear him.
For sure.
It's important to repeat what the heckler says. And just at a certain point, you can have that come to Jesus moment. Okay, we had some fun. We got a few laughs. Now, please, let's move on with the show. And if they still don't, I mean, honestly, like at comedy clubs, you can usually ask them to kick them out if they're very disruptive. Or you got to press on and make them part of the show and just kind of weave in and out of them like I had to do this weekend. I don't know. Did I miss?
I don't think you missed anything. You covered it all, established.
I tried to go through the whole, the whole
about whether
part
it's positive
of
or negative. They get offended, go through the shush, try to ignore them, address them. And then I think probably the last thing you mentioned was sort of make them a part of the show if you can't do it, or try to see if somebody, they can get kicked out, make them a part of the show if that's not the case. I also did wonder though, did you want them to get kicked out?
Well, not at that point. I mean, okay. We were already so far in at that point that it was just what it was.
Got it. Okay.
So I think at that point I was just having fun with them and I just made it part of the show. So that was like the energy and vibe.
Yeah.
I think it would have been tough to go back to, all right, now let me stand here and tell jokes. After all that energy, that's one of the worst feelings, that like when all your improv is killing and then you go into like straight material and the laughter is just, it's just a different decibel a lot of the times, especially early on in my career when I was practicing improvising on stage and I would open up and riff about the room a little bit or something and then go into material, and it was such a shift in energy. I didn't know how to make that transition. So it would have been fine if he left. But I think at that point I was having so much fun being weird and like going to the back of the room. I mean, I just started walking all over the room and I was like, all right, at this point I'm just going to perform to the wall back here. And I just like walked through the audience and had my back to the entire audience. I think at that point I was just enjoying being weird. So
yes,
I don't think at that point I was cool with him being there then.
For sure. Yeah. I mean, I like that because I also think I love the distinction of knowing and navigating whether you go back into your material or not, because you still went into your material, but you didn't do it in a way where it felt like abrupt. Like you just went into it as part of sort of you talking about him and talking about the room and the energy. Like it didn't even feel like, I mean, I know your material, so it didn't even feel like it was a transition. Like it felt very natural. Like you just went back in. I don't even know how you got back into the football thing. But it felt like, but you were talking about yourself and your family and like you're growing up and like all those things felt very, very natural because you made fun of the crowd, not really the crowd, you made fun of the city that you were from. And mm-hmm. as you were doing it, you just like were going into it. So I loved how you weaved him and the heckle into your own set, because it didn't feel like you got derailed because you still did the jokes. Mm-hmm. And I don't know whether you set out to like close on that joke or not, but like it just still felt very natural because you still crushed with your closer.
You know what I mean? Thank you. Yeah.
I don't know whether that was your closer. And I know you've got a couple of closers, but just I loved that was the one that you chose because it made the most sense for that moment.
I think probably halfway through the set, I realized that he is like, this is now just a part of the vibe in the room. Halfway through, I realized I was going to close on that. I didn't know how I was going to get to it, but I think for several years though, I really worked hard to find that mesh point between improv and the material, because you can, and comedians who have tried this can feel it. You're in the moment, there's this spontaneous energy, you're improvising, it's great, and then you go into material and it's almost like two different people on stage.
Yep.
And it just takes time to one start to be aware of that feeling and that transition, and then over time you just start to slowly find that mesh point and start to mold them together. So yeah, it was intentional of like, let's pop out, let's get back in, let's come around, like let's lean over here and then weave it back another joke here. So I was mindful to not just make it all that, make the whole show that, you know, I wanted it to be like, okay, let's tickle a little bit. All right, we're back to the show. We can tickle a little bit over here. We're back to the show. Like there is like a balance to it, to where it's like, okay, at some point, let's get some punchlines here. You know, let's keep both plates spinning. So I was very mindful to make sure that, and I guess that's another thing you could do with a heckler is if you can find a way to deal with, like say something to them that then can transition into your material, and you can almost just get the show back on track to where you got to laugh off him, and then you just start hitting your set again. And the show is rolling, and they may just sit back after that and realize, oh, okay, so this isn't my show.
For sure. I like that. Yeah. Like, oh, you remind me of my dad, and then just go into like your dad material. No, it was great, man. It was masterclass, dude. But I think you got them all. I think you got all the top tips. But yeah, it was a fun show, fun set.
I saw Drew Beekler had asked about nice heckles. And I think the best way to handle a nice heckle is, just sincerely, like ignoring it at first or saying thank you so much and then move on with the show. And if they keep doing it, be like, all right, you're kind of disturbing the show. I think just having that authentic moment and that connection will really help just to move on.
I also think it's good. I mean, I know I've been asked about this before, and I'm sure you've been asked. Just have some things in your back pocket that feel positive as well. I always think that's super important. So like, I know I've gotten heckled before and somebody just has an awkward laugh, right?
They
do the awkward laugh and then everybody starts laughing at the awkward laugh because you're waiting for that awkward laugh to kind of die down, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so like one of the things I've seen it done as well is just like, oh, I need to put you in my back pocket and take you everywhere. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, just talk about how great it is that they've got like that laugh, like how unique it is. I mean, some people also like go the opposite way and be like, are you the child of a hyena? I'm like, oh my God, now you're just like making fun of him. But like, it's a unique enough laugh where like, you don't have to like, you know, like clown on him. And I think sort of just having some things in your back pocket around just positive roasting, I think is so
important. Yeah, it's such a energy. Fun.
Yeah, having fun with it.
Keeping it fun and positive. And I know it can be an impulse to yell or what. It's just keeping it fun and positive is going to keep everyone on board. And it's going to keep the vibe fun. And I'm telling you that from personal experience.
He does stuff.
So this is a good question to end on, because Aaron Vaughn just said in the live chat, which if you're listening to the podcast, you got to get on these live streams. Come on now. Every 5 p.m., every Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern time, we're on here. And maybe we should start doing more topics like this. You know, I think I texted you like yesterday, like, oh, we got to talk about Sinbad. And then I was like, I don't know. This heckler thing is pretty good. So I would still like to talk about Sinbad and how he's the GOAT comedian. But I think more themed live streams would be a good idea as well. But Aaron said, I'm an Asian American comedian, and every time I go up, I get heckled for my race, which is usually a white man. And the crowd is majority white and find it funny. Only when I am in non-majority white audiences does this not happen. What do you suggest how I handle this? Interesting.
I'm
the white man, so maybe I'll let you, the not white man.
Yeah. And it was a white guy who was heckling you.
Yes, so we should clarify.
Maybe this is a problem. Maybe
it was a white man. Yes, we're. It's becoming very apparent what a problem white men are. That is for certain. That is for certain. We are very problematic. That's why I'm trying to be part of the solution and shutting down those honkies.
It's a great question. I think one element of this is when it feels like you're getting heckled for your race, I think, first of all, don't internalize it. I think it's an important factor that you're on stage and people are just naturally being themselves. It doesn't mean anything about you. That's them. Like, that's like the first thing I would say is don't internalize that whatever they say or whatever they do means anything about you or means anything about your performance. And also, I think the second thing is to just focus on your performance. Focus on like the thing that you wanted to accomplish when you are on stage. Always go into whether it's an open mic or a stand-up set or your showcase, whatever it may be, with some level of intention and trying to get to that intention by the time you are done with your set. It's hard not to react to people being an a-hole, but man, it's gonna happen. It really is just a part of comedy that you are going to get people that react certain kind of ways to certain kind of jokes. I would have never thought, there are some jokes in my set that I would have never thought people would have a reaction to. They've had a reaction to it. Like, and I was like, it's not even written in this way. And you can't control their reaction. The goal for you when you're on stage is to just be funny and do your jokes, do your time, and focus on what you want to get out of your set as much as possible. It's the part that you can control, which is you, your stage time, and the stuff that you were saying. You can't control a-holes. You can't control people just being douchebags off stage. You really can't.
Yeah, I wonder if there's... The one thing you could do is open up with the obvious of addressing your race up front. I mean, it's not something you want to do forever, but I mean, I know in the early days of me doing the hood rooms and I was like the only white guy in the zip code, I would open with that because that's what people are thinking. So yeah. I would almost open with that as just like an icebreaker and be like, okay, we've all addressed. And I never wanted to be hacky. I never wanted to pander. But early on in my career, it's just survival, dude, at a certain point.
And it kind of disarms the crowd as well. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know even early on in my career, when I would get brought up as Yoshi, people are like, I heard people yelling, I thought you were Asian. So I would have just a bit like, I know you were expecting an Asian, but this is a tall black man and this is what you're getting. And it would just diffuse that situation like that kind of thing. And I'd make other jokes about it. But yeah, I think sometimes, if you don't want to get the heckle, address the thing that people may be heckling you about, if it is a thing. But if they're just heckling you just for the sake of being a-holes, there's nothing you need to address. Just do your time and do your jokes.
And maybe write, it's kind of like I had the joke about, if you need to ride home, I do have a trunk. Yeah. Maybe, I mean, you could use that joke really if you want.
Sure.
But yeah. Also write a joke about that person or that heckler. And or you could just say like, please, sir, stop Asian hate. You know, and like that right there alone could just disarm the situation, you know, and saying it sincerely or like, you know, not like angrily, but like, oh, sir, please stop Asian hate. You know, you're being part of the problem right now. Or just having a disarming line that you don't always have to do. But if someone heckles you stereotypically like this, then you have like a nice throwaway line. You can do it to get the laugh, to punch them back, to then just move on.
Absolutely. Yeah. 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 I like that.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I think it is important. I think this is a good exercise. The same way that Joel just promotes clean comedy and how good it is for you to just be able to write clean, it's also important to just write heckle jokes that you have in your back pocket that you can have as responses on stage. Like, it's just a part of your writing exercise, right? You may get on a stage and people start going back and forth. You know how many roast comics have gotten big from just having roast just ready? Sometimes mm-hmm. they don't have it ready for a roast show. They have it ready for hecklers that are coming on stage, and that's how they blew up. So just having even just jokes that you know people might make fun of you about, having a response to that and like having like just an arsenal of those jokes is helpful for you as well.
Yeah. Yeah, 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 yeah. Good point. Yeah, having some just saver lines in there is great.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Ooh, that was good. We got some good'uns in there.
Some good'uns.
So you got y'all have the list of how to handle hecklers, and now it's put it into practice whenever it happens, you know, and it's just being ready. And I think the big thing, because it can be so scary, I think the big takeaway, we gave you a list. I think the big one is remembering the crowd is on your side. You're not alone. This person is not only yelling at you. They're yelling at the entire room of people there. So having that confidence and that safety feeling of, okay, I'm not alone in this, regardless of how it goes, that'll just help you to start to develop the skill of handling hecklers faster as you realize, okay, it's not me versus heckler. It's me in the room versus this heckler. So the numbers are on your side. So having that confidence to stay calm is
and if that fails, and if that fails, just hire somebody to come to the show to heckle you so then you can get content out of it.
That's what I did. That's what I did. And I forgot to film it. I remembered the plant. I forgot the camera. That was the one.
People were like, wait, did you hire him? And I think part of it is people have seen so much crowd work stuff. They're like, that's just part of the jokes. Those are part of the jokes.
But, you know, if I did film it, then nothing would have happened. You know, that, I mean, it's like, I would have filmed it, no heckles. It would have been a show, me standing there doing jokes. Like, the fact that there wasn't a camera in sight meant that it was going to be this like magical moment that could never be recreated. And like, so there is the special feeling of that.
It's funny because we both got there. We were like, oh, we should probably film this one.
Like, I know. And then they had a camera. I thought they filmed the shows there. I thought so too. Okay.
I thought so too. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. They just didn't film ours. even though it sold out, they was like, they're not going to be worth filming. Well,
dude, and we
need to run it back.
We crushed. It was a
It was a great show.
Yeah.
it was a very good show.
Yeah.
So shout out to Hot Breathers, JB King and Ryan Skrilla.
Yeah. Appreciate it.
They're both
guys,
fans of the pod, local comedians here, producing a lot of quality shows and
Quality shows just outside the perimeter, inside the perimeter. Yeah. They're just good hustlers, good people. Yep. They got they're just grinding, right? And they haven't been in the game long, but they found a niche. They found you know, ways to bring comedy to people, to spaces, and they're like going all in. So it's awesome to watch and awesome to see people do work outside of just the comedy itself. Like, they're literally just rip roaring grinding as producers, and it's awesome.
Yeah, and Yoshi and I love doing shows together. So if you're listening to this and you have shows you produce,
yeah,
or events
clean too,
coming up, Yoshi can do clean. All those mother effers. I was like, what is?
I told myself, I was like, oh, Joe's going after.
What is going on?
Joe's going to clean up my mess, but I'm dropping the mess.
He's going to clean up my mess. No, it was good. But if you guys want to book us, feel free to reach out on social media and let's talk details and see if we can make it work. You know, we've traveled to several places doing shows with the Hot Breathiverse. So we love it. If we can make it make sense.
Absolutely.
So yeah, thank y'all for hanging out. Yeah. We do this every Tuesday. And if you haven't already, join that wait list for the Clean Comedy Workshop for the next one I'm going to be doing. I saw a few of you joined already just during this live chat. But if you listen to the podcast, go and get on that wait list, because they've been the people want to learn clean comedy. I'm excited, because you know I'm a nerd for it. And even you saying mother effer, I was just in the back like, you know, just one workshop and we could iron all those out.
Here's the thing. Here's the beauty of it, right? Like, literally, that show was this past weekend, and we did a show literally 2 weeks beforehand. Maybe like half the time, I didn't drop a single mother effer. Had a great show, right? And yeah. I think part of, for me, I like the challenge of doing clean, but I also like just like feeling a crowd out. I wasn't planning on cursing, honestly. It just felt like the vibe when I got in there. I was like, ooh, I like this crowd. Let's just get in there and just like have this fun and, you know, curse and be good. And it was fun. But yeah, it was super fun. Great crowd.
Yeah, absolutely. So thank y'all for hanging out. Please reach out with any questions you may have. And we do these every single Tuesday, 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. The song is on. We want to try to get out of here by the time the song's over. Do you have anything you need to say, Yoshi?
Nope, not this week. Nothing at all. We did it.
We love you. Come back next Tuesday. Tell your friends. And we'll see y'all on the other side.
Holla, 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 holla.
Bye, y'all. Hot breath.